Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are very welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every evening at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11, and it's on the button every night, including weekends, as it is the weekend tonight. And tonight, first of all, I'll tell you the parameters of this show and a little bit about myself, and then I'll go into what I'm going to talk about. But what I want to talk about tonight is a very, very pressing public topic. It is socialism as opposed to capitalism. I think everybody has different views of this and interprets these systems differently. I want to talk about it, and I would like to communicate on this issue. I think it's very important, and it's been misinterpreted, particularly in the United States, where capitalism has ruled the roost, and socialism has been a bad, bad boy. But let me tell you the three parameters of this show. I have a distinct literary interest in great literature, English literature, French, Russian, German, etc., and I'm very, very anxious to read great books and recommend great books. That young people should know great books, and literature to me is very important. So that is really one of the parameters of this show. And I would like to also tell you that in addition to literature being important to me on this show, and the next thing is, I'm a Christian, which means and involves three aspects, and that's what is really concerned with this show to some extent, additional literature. And that Christianity involves believing the creeds of the Church, the Apostles, Nicene and Athanasian Creed. And I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And I like to read the great Christian authors of the past, such as John Milton, who's one of my favorites, one of my all-time favorites. And also E.M. Forster, Howard's End, and Passage to India, and St. Augustine, and of course St. Paul's epistles, which are wonderful in every way, and really he was the greatest religious thinker, I think, that has almost ever lived. These are some of the people I'm concerned with, Dante and John Bunyan and T.S. Eliot and G.K. Chesterton and C.S. Lewis. Now I'd like to go tell you a little bit myself on this show so you could get a sense of where I'm coming from. Then I'll go into this issue of socialism and capitalism. Let me tell you that this is a politically incorrect show. We do not aim for media hype, media falsehoods, or political rhetoric, or left-wing or right-wing slogans. We aim to get at the facts and get at the truth through critical thinking. That's what we aim to in this church. This show is a show where we try to get at the truth and the facts as best we can by reading great books, and most of all by reading Holy Scripture. Next, I'd like you to understand that this show is a Christian show, namely our parameters of our thinking are Christian. But that doesn't mean I exclude other people. I exclude no one. I am concerned with concerned with all races and faiths, and whether a Buddhist, whether an Islamic person, or any sort of person in the world, they are the people that Jesus died for and cast his life for and loves. And every person, every single person, bears the divine stamp, and Jesus has died for. So that is really what that is. And also, I have a political emphasis on this show. I'm conservative, but I have a great concern for poor and the poverty, and poverty, and I'm concerned about that group, and that is Jesus' direction. It is a specific advice in this respect. I'm not about to abandon my concern for poverty and the poor and the underclass. Next, I'd like you to, I will now go on to other things in this show. I have run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, and these shows are Christian shows, and many people all over the world visit these sites, a podcast and the blog talk radio show. I have many, many of my dear Muslim brothers and sisters visit these Christian sites and are convinced by them. Matter of fact, I have a philosophy student that I met in Iran that has taken to my Christian books and likes them and wants to know about them. So, many, many people of many faiths, all races, peer persons, all points of view, all, in fact, visit these radio shows. And I'm very pleased that they do, and I don't think they have to be anything but what they are, but I know the face of Jesus' love is a face that is on their face and on my mind in every way. Next, I am a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books, essays in the Christian worldview, essays in faith, culture, politics, and philosophy, a book on the parables. The parables book is very important because it represents the mind and thoughts of Jesus and his advice and directions, 41 parables in the Gospels, and the book I think you will find interesting and engaging. Next, you should know that I've written an additional book of parable books. I've recently written a book on the Psalms. I read the Psalms in Hebrew in seminary, and I read them in English in Sunday school. I memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm, and the Psalms are great, great literature. They are great Jewish lyric poetry of the Jewish nation. Not to read the Psalms is to miss out. They're beautiful, they're great, and they represent the mind and thought of God. And I challenge you, as I've said this before, that to read the Psalms is a privilege accorded not to all, and I urge you to read the Psalms for their beauty and for their captivation and for their thought. Next, I want you to know that I'm writing other books. I'm reading 4 blog books of the four blog sets of blogs that I've written. Those books will be coming out soon. I'm also writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. It's partially written. I'm writing a law book, another law book, in addition to Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2. I've partially written another law book of criminal law hearings and criminal hearings, and I think you'll enjoy that book when I finished it. In addition, I am writing another book, as I say, on the miracles in the Bible, and finally, I will be writing a book on the book of Job in the Bible, which is a wonderful book. Job was a very stirring narrative of how a Edomite non-Jewish person was tried by God in trials and tribulations. It's a great book. It's a wonderful book. I can't stop reading it. And as I said, this is these chapters of the Bible are wonderful. They are very informative and very helpful to anybody's thinking. And anybody who limits their thinking to a comic book or to the latest romance novel or to the television program or a computer, they are in severe intellectual trouble, if they have any intellectual inclinations. They may not. They may have none, or not know anything, or know what's worthwhile. I urge you, my dear friends, to read John Milton's Paradise Lost, which he wrote, this great genius wrote while he was blind, and take a look at it and see if you can understand it from a person who is blind and produced this great work. Next, I've written other books, a book called Res Gestae on Bender's evidence. I've also written a book on New York jurisprudence, a section on criminal law, demands and notices. It's a legal encyclopedia. I wrote that. I've also written a book on the family law practice. Edited. I'm the West Publishing Company. Edited by Merrill Sobey, and I have also produced a other books, which I will get to in a minute. But the family law practice, I wrote the section on the chapter on paternity. It sold very well. And finally, I've written three major journal articles, one on Academicus, an Urbanian scientific journal, in which I wrote about sexual orientation discrimination and the United States educational system and its failure. And it has been sold to the State Department in both instances, and to many other universities and libraries across the world, across the board, Africa, Asia, America, North America, etc. Everywhere, these books have been bought. These journal articles have been bought. Finally, I wrote an article on criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review, and this article has been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court, and I'm pleased to say it's been bought by all three of these articles have been bought by many, many, many universities throughout the world. So now we'll have a little bit of talk about socialism and capitalism, the pros and cons, and perhaps I'm going to offer an analysis of why maybe socialism is a theoretically better system, even though capitalism seems to work more. Socialism or communism or Marxism has its, and capitalism have come to dominate the economic scene in the world today. At one time, China and Russia were communist countries, but they have now switched to capitalist market systems. So yes, there were very large communist countries, one time China and Russia, but now the only ones seem to be Cuba and North Vietnam. And these, China and Russia, seems to have switched to a capitalist market system. But there are many socialist countries in Western Europe that seems to embrace socialism, not communism, but socialism, such as Sweden, Denmark, Norway, Germany, Holland, Belgium, and to some extent France and England. They have somewhat modified sort of socialist systems. But let's take a look at capitalism and why it's good and why it's bad. Capitalism, although based on greed and competition, it is argued gives many people a fighting chance, or rather a starting chance. The idea behind capitalism is that it provides opportunities for creative, hardworking individuals to succeed in whatever way they might want to succeed. So although capitalism has a negative aspect of being on greed and competition, it does give people a fighting chance or starting chance. But the idea behind capitalism, the good point about it, is that, yes, it's based on greed and competition, but it gives people a kind of a chance. And the idea is that capitalism provides opportunities for creative, hardworking individuals to succeed economically. Now let's take a look at socialism and communism as opposed to capitalism. Socialism and communism are based on equalization and equal distribution of wealth. Now that's good. The idea behind socialism is the broad range of the population is provided with some sort of medical care, free education, and a job. So socialism has got its points. It's based on an equalization of wealth, an equal distribution of wealth. The broad population is provided with some sort of medical care, free education, and a job. And although there are some opportunities to economically outdo their neighbor in socialism, they're somewhat limited, and there's limited competition as to where you can go. So this little essay that I'm talking about, the little talk that I'm talking about here, offers a solution as to why these systems must fail on some level, both of them. They don't have all the some of the answers, but only a few of the answers. And the issue is, yes, capitalism seems to provide jobs and seems to give people chances, and socialism provides an equalization of wealth and free medical care and employment and education. But the reason why these systems ultimately fail is because of human nature, which is corrupt and wanting. And we will have to understand about sin and why it corrupts all these systems. Therefore, in any system, the most selfish, if not limited, people in character seek for domination and are disinclined to truly share the wealth and opportunities. That's the issue. Because it's because human nature is corrupt. Therefore, whatever the system, whether socialism or communism or capitalism, the most selfish people seek for domination and are disinclined, despite the promise of socialism, to share wealth. The fault in these systems and reason why they fail, and capitalism and socialism both fail in some sense, and that they seem to be good. The fault is not in the systems, but in people. The problem is that sinful, corrupt human nature goes in for a power grab through the exclusion of others. And even in theoretically classless communism, a few individuals sought for and maintained power. The problem in these systems is not in the system, but in human nature, its weakness and desire for power and wealth and disinclination to share. All systems must be fail in systems, not because the systems are bad, but because people are bad. So why do these systems fail on some level? It's because of human nature is corrupt. Therefore, in any system, the most selfish, limited people seek for domination and are truly disinclined to share wealth and opportunities. The fault in these systems and the reason why they fail is not in the system, since the system, in some sense, is good, especially socialism. The problem is that sinful, corrupt human nature engages in a power grab and tries to edge out others. And even in theoretically classless communism, a few individuals sought for and obtained power. The problem in these systems and why they fail is not in the systems, but in human weakness and ambition and desire for power and wealth. All must fail, not because the systems are bad, but unfortunately, because people are bad. One drop of Jesus' love can change a continent. What is needed is not better systems, but better people and developed people whose object is not self-love, but charity and involvement with others, not in seeking personal benefits, but in benefit for other people. What is not needed is not the system or changing the system, but better people, giving and developed people, whose object is not self-aggrandizement, but charity and involvement with others, and seeking not personal benefit, but benefit for others. Let me make a comment about socialism and capitalism. As you say, capitalism provides a degree of opportunity, but it's based on greed and competition, and these are not good qualities. The desire for money, greed, and competition is not a particularly laudable goal. But socialism, in some sense, in seeking to equalize wealth and eliminate classes and give free education and jobs and equalization of wealth to all, theoretically, socialism and communism might be better systems. Apparently, they don't work very well. They're not very helpful to people. They don't work very well. They've been proven not to work very well, but theoretically, in their idea of seeking to eliminate classes and equalize wealth and provide free jobs and education for all, socialism might be theoretically a better and superior system. It could be. It doesn't work so well. Capitalism has a better working way in providing jobs and giving people an equal chance. some sort of equal chance, but socialism in some sense has certain very positive points about it. And we can only say that perhaps we need a society where we have a social safety net, a degree of socialism with the chances that capitalism offers. Perhaps we need a little mix of both for the system to work. A mix of socialism, communism, and capitalism. Not one, not the other, but one or so. Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed this talk. And I'll be talking about a third alternative, a third party, not socialism or communist or Republican. I'll be talking about a third party tomorrow. The idea of a third party, which may be what we need. I'll go into it tomorrow, and I hope you enjoyed this talk. Thanks so much.